Do me a favor, when you get these papers, just kind of put them aside for right now, and I'll refer to them when I get going up to the piano, okay? Keyboard. Let me just say, it's always such a joy for my family to come here. John and I have been friends for many years, and I've been friends with a number of you for many years, and we feel so welcomed. We always feel so welcomed when we come here. I don't know if you know this, but Linda, stand up if you would. Most of you know my wife, Linda. And Linda and I, 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, had our first date on a Thursday night, and then on Friday night, it was the second time we saw each other, was right here. And we saw each other Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, because I did the parenting seminar right here. And that was kind of a continuation of our Thursday night date. And this was the first time that Charity and Faith met their mom-to-be. And there's just a lot of, thank you, there's a lot of good memories, and I'm just so blessed. I'm going to have my family participating this morning. Actually, in a minute, I'm going to have Charity teach you a song if you don't know it. But before I do that, I have a couple trivia questions to ask, okay? And I want to see how bright you guys are this morning. And if anybody feels like you're kind of sleepy and groggy, I know somebody told me they were groggy this morning, just get somebody nearby to give you a couple of these, all right? And we have some ice water waiting in the back if that doesn't work, because you're not going to fall asleep on my sermon this morning. I'm just not going to let you do that. Okay, are you ready? All right. Now, you all know about Boaz, right? Boaz married who? Ruth, and he became the great-grandfather of King David, right? It was Obed, Jesse, and David. The question is, what word best describes Boaz before he married Ruth? Single. This is a tough one. Who's, any other guess? Kinsman Redeemer. You're being a little overly spiritual for this question. Rich. I guess I'm going to have to tell you. He was known to be ruthless. Okay. All right. That was bad. I know that was really bad. Okay. All right. Now, you know, these are the best of the best, right? Okay. In Germany, they don't, you know, it's kind of dead spiritually in Germany, but they do have some. Did I say something wrong?
The peanut gallery back there.
Did you teach them that? No. Okay. There are some good pastors in Germany. And these guys are really special. What are they known as, these good pastors in Germany? German shepherds. That's exactly right. Okay. John, will you ever have me here again? I'm getting better.
You fit like a hand in a glove here.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one more, a little more serious later. But you know, yesterday I was just doing some preparation for today, and I was, Lord, I am not hungry enough for you. I want my heart to be filled with more of a passionate hunger for you. And this song came to mind. We did it in family devotions last night. And I don't know if you all ever have sung this, but I want Charity to teach it to you. And I want us just to sing it a little bit in preparation for the message today. If we could put it up there. And Charity, just go for it, okay?
To start with the chorus. The words to the chorus go like this. Stir up a hunger, stir up a hunger in my heart. Nothing can satisfy me, nothing else will do. Stir up a hunger, First one. Day into night, you can turn the dark into light. You can take the soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Let's repeat that. Day into night, you can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger, stir up a hunger in my heart. Nothing can satisfy me, nothing else will do. Stir up a hunger, a hunger in my heart. Stir up a hunger in my heart for more of you. Verse 1. Day into night, you can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love.
Get real together, okay? Here's the deal. The deal is that the world and the flesh and the devil are warring against us day and night. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But the hymn writer said this, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. How many of you identify with that? Prone to leave the God I love. All of us here in this place, yesterday it hit me, God, I want my heart to be more stirred toward you. And there's this tendency to get cool, for our heart to get hardened. If you are knowing in your heart that you need your heart to be stirred today, and you know that you want your heart to be more passionate for God, raise your hand. Let's get real before God. And everybody has their hand raised. Keep it raised. Somebody nearby, maybe it's all of us, just gently put your hand on their shoulder and let's sing this as a prayer for ourselves and for the person we're praying for. Okay, let's sing it with all of our heart. I want to tell you, I'm going to talk to you this morning about the dead people out there who need to be brought to life. Only God can do it. There is no way you and I have the power to reach into somebody's heart and convert them. We can't do it. Only God can. But in a similar way, our hearts get cold. We need God. We need God, folks. And we need to get blasted out of our tendency toward complacency. Is that right? If we're ever going to make an impact on the world out there, our hearts have got to be ablaze. And so let's make this a prayer this morning. A prayer for us as individuals and a prayer for Shore Christian Fellowship. Oh God, we need you to stir us up. So let's do it with the depth of our heart. And if you are cool in your heart today, it's okay to admit it. If you're lukewarm, admit it. Our God is a gracious God. And he comes to those who humble themselves and cry out to him. So let's do it. Let's make this a song of prayer and crying out to him this morning.
First one. Day into night, you can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger, stir up a hunger in my heart. Nothing can satisfy me, nothing else. stir up a hunger, a hunger in my heart. Stir up a hunger in my heart for more of you, for more of you, for more of you.
While you're standing, pull out those notes and let's read this scripture together, all right? And then we're going to pray. This is Jesus. Mark 4 is full of parables and the explanation of parables, and several of them deal with the kingdom of God as it relates to scattering seed and sowing seed. Let me ask you a question. Years ago, or months ago, or days ago, whatever it is for you, how many of you would say somebody scattered gospel seed into your heart? Is that right? This is what the kingdom of God is. It is somebody going and scattering seed. Let's read it together. This is Jesus. When you read, he said, we're talking about Jesus. Read it out loud with me. And he said, the kingdom of God is this, of a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now stay standing for just a minute before we pray. Let me say this. All around us this day, as we are here in the joy of worshiping God and having the joy of fellowship and loving one another, all around us there are millions of people in the valley of decision. And they don't even know they're in a point of decision. They're asleep to it. And there is great calamity ahead for them. A matter of fact, they're hanging on a thread. And I know this about God. And there's a lot of theology and doctrine we can talk, but we know that there are some clear expressions of exactly what the Word of God says about the heart of God when it comes to how God's looking at those millions of people. It says this: God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We know that to be a fact. And we know this. In 2 Peter, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He puts His Spirit in us, who are here in this room, in this sanctuary from the world. He puts His Spirit in us. He puts His love in us that compels us and constrains us to go and to reach those millions of people. But what is the mechanism by which God reaches them? How does He do it? What is the process that He uses? What is the thing that will have the power to reach into their soul and turn them around, as it were? And you know the answer to this. It's not a trick question. What is it that can bring a lost soul from darkness to light? It's the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And you must not be ashamed of the gospel either. Let me ask you a question. Are you ashamed of the gospel today? And most of you are going to say, no way. And so my question is, how many people are you freely telling the gospel to? Because that's a better measurement about whether or not we're ashamed of the gospel. Is that right? How much are you convinced that gospel has within it seed power, that when that seed is scattered, it has the power to penetrate a heart and to burst forth in life? I want to help you with that if I can, by God's grace, today. How is that gospel transmitted? How is it transmitted? Does God send Gabriel and his gang down from heaven and just set them loose to go do it? Silly question. No. What is his plan? Plan A, and there is no plan B. Who are the transmitters of that glorious gospel? We are. Absolutely, we are. And we are the ones. Now listen, I need God to stir up a hunger for Him in my heart. And then I need Him to stir up a passion and compassion in my heart for the lost around me. I want you simply to do this as we pray. As we pray this morning, somebody nearby you, you just take 30 seconds and you pray for them that God will stir them toward Him and toward these millions of people in the Valley of Decision. And then that person prays for you. Just turn to somebody nearby and let's pray for that person nearby. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and switch if you haven't switched yet. Let the other pray now. Father, I thank You for my friends at Shore Christian Fellowship, and I thank You for all of us, Lord Jesus, that we know we're weak, and we know, Lord, apart from You, we can do nothing, and we know, Lord, that that we are, like Paul said, that we go with fear and weakness and much trembling with this message, and yet we know this as well, that by our God we can run through a troop and leap over a wall. And we know this, that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. And we know that this gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And Lord, we know that in our need, those outside of Christ have need billions of times greater than our need as we are in Christ. And I pray, Father, please stir my heart. If nothing else happens today, I pray You stir my heart toward You. And You stir my heart toward the lost people out there that I might be an effective witness for You in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you all. I hope as we look at this passage today, and I hope you'll take this passage and meditate on it and think on it later. It's a simple little passage, and yet I think it's got such wisdom and instruction in it for us. And I hope by looking at it, that it's going to bring you into some joyful freedom. How many of you could use some joy? And how many of you could use some freedom? Okay, well, I hope it does both, especially regarding evangelism.